Join us as Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll teaches us how to strengthen our relationship with God through His Holy Word.
God is good this morning, I tell you. Turn with me this morning, if you would. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Okay, now we got it. All right, highlighted. Yes, for He has made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Whenever we sing about the old rugged cross, which was a beautiful song, how He made the tree that they were going to nail Him to. It's an interesting thought there. I heard that song a couple times in the past. Beautiful song. Now we look at this scripture passage here, we realize that this is what it's all about. This is the center of God's Word, meaning that if you were going to condense it down into one verse, this would be it. Whenever we think about what's taking place this week and the funeral that happened yesterday, we heard all the sharing about the individual who had gone on. And then we think about Brother Jim, how this past week he entered into heaven in God's glory, in God's presence, there to rejoice. It's all because of what God has done. It's what God made possible through the cross that He died upon, that He sent His Son into the world to die upon. Whenever we think about that, it amazes me about, and I don't want to be on a negative part of this. I want to be on a positive. I want an upswing in this. And the deal is that whenever Brother Jim went home, I can only imagine what he saw there, what he's seeing. And others that have gone on before us knew, they walked into heaven, what it is that they are seeing there and what they are feeling. And we can only, again, imagine. It makes me think of a time when I was a young fella growing up in the hills of the West Virginia. I love saying that. While I'm talking about it, these flashbacks are in my mind. I keep seeing the hills of West Virginia and the beauty of it all. But as a little boy, and I've shared this with you before, but I remember as a little boy, man, I'd be out playing around in the fields all day long and catching these great big fishes that we were catching in those creeks. I mean, those were big things. Yes. I can't imagine how big they actually were. I mean, you'd have to see them to believe them. And I remember how my father would tell us sometimes, you know, we had to get out in the field there and hoe the corn. And I don't know about you, have you ever seen those great big weed sickles? I don't know what they called those things, but they had two little handles to them. And you know, you just kind of sweeping around, cut grass, tall weeds. My dad always gave me one of those big sickles. Can you imagine a kid about 8, 9 years old handling one of those things out there in grass that was taller than he was, trying to cut it down? I remember as soon as I got out of bed, I knew one thing I had to do. I had to get out of that holler before my dad saw me. Because if I didn't, he'd got a big day ahead of me. And I'd be down there in the creeks playing around and doing everything little boys do during the day. Man, you get wore out. Running up and down them coal piles and climbing up and down on those coal mines and all the things that you do while you're out and about like that. And at the end of the day, I'd always try to come home. I remember walking up that old holler and there was a little curve. And I've shared this, a little bitty curve, a big rose bush on those rocks. All over that, big red roses. I remember that. And we'd come around that curve, and man, I could tell what was going on at my home just by looking at it. I knew if Mom was home, there would be smoke coming out of the chimney. And meaning that there's a big fire going, Mom's cooking and all that type of stuff. Mom wasn't home, there wasn't no smoke coming out of that chimney because there wasn't nobody to tell them boys to get it done. But I felt so comfortable seeing that and knowing Mom was there. Whenever we go and we get into glory someday, each of us will take our own turn and go, like those who have stepped out of this world and entered into eternity, into the presence of God already. Your eyes and my eyes and our ears and your ears, all of our ears and eyes will begin to see what they see in glory someday. I don't know about you, but never I get a chance to share this on Sunday mornings or I begin to think about it during the week. It's a rejoicing thought to know that one day I'm going to go there and I'm not going to have to deal with all this craziness in this world. Yesterday at the funeral, it's kind of a repeat of what has gone before. Something's already happened. And yesterday at the funeral, like other times, so many times you're there and somebody thinks the pastor is beyond that type of feelings that takes place at those funerals, but they're not. And sometimes if they see the things taking place there, they get caught up in it also. And there at the gravesite service yesterday, now listen, the gravesite service, now we were finished. Stacy laid her head down on that coffin. And she said, I heard her say, and I know we've all been through this. And I heard her say this. She says, I'm not ready for this. Just not ready for this. I'm not ready to do this. No choice. We have to. We have to. That's what this world is all about. That's where we're at in this world. But one day, it won't be like that. I said something yesterday. If you're here this morning, and I don't know of any that here that I look around, if you're here this morning and you don't know God, you're missing out on the greatest opportunity that this life has to offer. If you don't know God this morning, as we said yesterday, the only thing you can do is you look into the past and you don't see anything. There's nothing there. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you don't know God, you can look into the future and you don't see anything because there's nothing there. But you and me, because we know who God is, whenever we look into the past, we see God. Amen? We go in the book, the very first thing it says in the book, in the beginning, God. Look in the past, go back as far as you want to go, and you will see God. And you look into the future, you will see God. Look into the future, and you're going to see God. And you go in the book, and you know what it says towards the end of the book? I could quote you the last verse in it, but towards the end of the last of this, the last book in the Bible, it says, their God will wipe away all tears. I sometimes wonder, and I'm going to this passage of Scripture. I sometimes wonder about the tears. What's the tears? What are those tears there? Is it tears of sorrow? Or is it tears of joy and rejoicing? For me, I take the upper road, and I think it's the tears of rejoicing. I mean, you can't imagine what it's going to be like. You take Stacy at that casket. I'm not ready for this. I'm not ready for this. And put yourself in eternity in the presence of God. I'm not ready for this. How can we comprehend all that God has in store for us? Can't. But we're going to find out someday, amen? We're going to find out someday. And the only thing that made it possible for us to see and find this out is what took place in this verse. Look at it again. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. There's a lot of things we can glean from this. Let me just give you three things real quick. The first thing is this, that Christ was absolutely sinless. Could you imagine that? Christ was absolutely sinless. Can't imagine that. Man, I'm a sinner the minute I get in my car. And I would not want to see some of you on the freeway. And you slow pokes wouldn't want to see me. I always said, and I've said this again, there's only two people that I know that scares the daylights out of me whenever they drive. And some of you might. I haven't ridden with you yet. But one person was Hal Richards. Hal Richards scared the daylights out of me. I thought I was going home to heaven every time I got in the truck with him or car. That guy would be just speeding down the freeway. Hal, if you ever listen to this tape, I'm talking about you. Flying down the freeway, and you've seen those little vans got that stub nose on the front end of it, and you're sitting up in that front seat. I mean, it's like it's right there in front of you. And he's right there. That car, you can look down at 80, 85 miles an hour, and you can look down in the front of his van, and you can see the bumper of that other car. Joel drives like that. Charles drives like that. I didn't want to drive you guys. I knew I'd go home with him. Karen is the other person that scares me to death whenever she drives. And this is good, all right? Nothing. She's too cautious of a driver. If that street says 35, it's 35. If it says stop at this stop sign, she stops at that stop sign. Amen. Yeah. You heard the story about the brothers who were out there driving one day, and the brother, he would come up on, if I get this right, so he'd come up on a red light, and he goes right through the red light, something like that. And he drove right through it. And he said, one guy asked him, said, how come you didn't stop at that red light? And he said, well, he said, my brother told me I didn't have to stop at red lights. So I just drive right on through. And so they're driving down the road a little bit further, and the guy comes up on a green light, and he stops at the green light. And the guy looked at him and said, well, why in the world did you stop at the green light? You didn't stop at the red light. He said, well, my brother might be coming. You say don't cry. I'm not supposed to laugh. So just stop and think for a minute. You and I live in a world that is full of sinners. We had a Savior, Christ, who came into a world that is full of sinful people. And he walked around amongst them all the time. He came into a sinful world and he never sinned once. Not once. Could you imagine seeing him today on the freeway? I can't imagine it. I've not seen that person out there. If everybody comes close to that, it'd be Karen. Have you ever pulled up at a red light? And I'm not going to stay here that long, but you ever pulled up a red light and looked at the person over next to you at that red light? It's hard to get them to do that. It's hard to do that at a red light because most people, they're either looking straight ahead or they're on the phone while they're at that red light. No communication at all. But pull up, try this, all right? Do it, try this. Pull up to a red light sometimes. Look at over at the person sitting next to you in that other car over there and go, try it and see what they do. Just give it a shot. That's Christ on a freeway doing exactly what he did. He came into a world that is full of sin. Christ was absolutely sinless. That's what he says. For he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. He came into a sinful world and he was sinless. But a lot of people think, well, he's God. And because he's God, he could come into a world, he could do that. But let me tell you something, he was human too. And he was faced with the same temptations that you were faced with and that I am faced with. And the Bible said that he was without sin. So he was tempted in a powerful way. In reality, if you stop and think about it, he was tempted far above any way that you have ever been tempted. And the reason I say that is this. It's kind of like a pot of cooking. You ever a pressure cooker? It can only take so much pressure, and after a while, it explodes. And a lot of times what we do, whenever we get tempted in this world to do sin, we'll say, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. And the pressure builds up, and then eventually, all right. We just give in and do it. Christ never did give in. Pressure. Even to the point of the Garden of Gethsemane, while he was there, the Bible said he sweat great drops of blood. Pressure to sin. And he cried out to his Father, Father, if there's any way that I could avoid this, if there's any way, he said, let this cup pass from me. And the message came back. He said, basically, I think, was been the message that he understood. There's no other way. You've got to. If you want to redeem mankind, if you want those individuals that are to come to enter into glory and see the beauty of it all and to experience and know the beauty of it all, you've got to do it. And he, Father, thy will be done, sinless. Can you imagine that? Can't imagine it. Christ was absolutely sinless. Christ was made, number two, Christ was made sin for us. Man, I've heard preachers say this. Now listen, I don't agree with this, all right? I've heard preachers say that whenever Christ was on the cross, that he became everything that everyone was. He became a drunk. He became a prostitute. He became everything. And I've heard a preacher preach this on TV. They say this. And I'm thinking, that's blasphemy. That's not true. Because you see, it didn't say that he became, in a sense, sin. Notice what it says there. It says there, for he has made him to be sin for us. You know what that actually means? That means he became the sacrificial offering for God in the place of your sins and God's punishment was placed upon him for your sins. And that's what it's all about. Could you imagine that? I don't know about you, but I used to get back on a story. Stay with me with a little bit, all right? Stay with me. I remember back whenever my... I've got some time. I remember back when I was a little boy, my mother, how many of you ever chopped those chickens' heads off? You ever done that? Oh, terrible. Yeah. Some of you just wring their necks. Yeah. They call that a humane way. I heard a guy say, my mother never did do that. She'd just tell us boys, I want you to get that old hen out there and I want you to take her out there. I want you to chop that chicken's head off and let it flop around a little bit. You're not supposed to be talking this from the pulpit, all right? And that was bad stuff. That chicken sure tasted good after it's all over and done with. Could you imagine being under the Old Testament and the old laws? I can't imagine that. Some of the stuff that would take, you know, whenever a lot of people think, well, the priest did it all. I mean, you just bring him this old lamb, and if you bring him the lamb, he'll just take that old lamb out there someplace and hide it, and you'll never see it, and he'll kill it. Then he'll take the blood and put it on there for you. You know, that's not the way it worked. That's not how it happened. I would not like to have been under the old system, because under the old system was you brought the lamb to the priest and you placed your hands on that lamb's head and you did the work. Then he took the blood and he did all the offering for you in your place. That lamb took your place. I would not have liked that. Not at all. So Christ placed on the cross. Now listen, this is good stuff. For he had made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So now, if you think about that for a moment, what he did, he was on the cross, stay with me, for 6 hours. For 3 hours, they mocked him and made fun of him. And then, of course, you know, after 3 hours, darkness came up on the land. And for 3 hours, he...
The darkness, a God there
did work. I don't know what it was. I don't know how it was. I'm just speculating in some areas. But I know at the end of that, he cries out. It wasn't what mankind could do in 3 hours. It's what was finished at the very end of it. He cries out to the Father, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And then finally he says, and this is, to me, is the most touching, and I know that sounds horrible, but it is the most touching words in the Bible. It is finished. It's done. You are safe. You're safe. You're safe. You're safe. Why? Because it was finished on the cross of Calvary for you. It's safe now. Jesus says, "It's finished." Amen. That's something. But if you can imagine, I don't know. Let me just speculate for a little bit, all right? And then I'll let you out of here. Just speculate. The Father hands on the Son on the cross, offering him up as a sacrifice for your sins, doing the work of the priest for you on the Son. Can you imagine? I can't imagine that. Think of all that was taking place there. You can almost see that in Abraham's work. I loved that movie we saw the other day. Can I keep you just for another minute or two? I remember whenever, as we were watching that movie down there, I remembered Abraham saying, "Why not me?" Kind of, "How about me? Not my son, not Isaac. How about me? How about me? Don't take him. You know, let me be disciple. God said, no, I want him. And as he was praying that, I thought in that movie, I'm thinking, man, how many times did I pray that? Not him, take me. Not him, take me. And how many times Richard said to me over the weeks, why not me? Not him. Why not me? Not him, me. And here it is, God is saying, take him. Take him. For you and for me. Notice what I said there. For he has made him to be sin for what? For us. Man, sin offering, sacrifice for sin. He was made sin. He was not made a sinner. He was made sin. Amen? Let me give you the last thing here, and I will let you go. And that is, because of this, and then we could go on, but because of this, because God was willing to make him sin for you and me, why? That we, notice what it says, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So what does that mean? That we share in the righteousness of God. The end design in all this, the end design in it all from the very beginning was for God to make or possible for you and me to share in his righteousness. You made the righteousness of God in him, that you and I might be justified freely by the grace of God. We said this in Sunday school, and I'm closing with this. You and I, we can't imagine what's waiting for us over in glory. We can't imagine. Because if we did, we'd be rushing to get there, for one thing. But as we were discussing in Sunday school this morning, if you study like in the book of Revelation, Revelation 3:20, and we're all familiar with that verse, it said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice, I will come into him and sup with him, fellowship. Then he goes on down there and says, to him that overcomes, now listen, to him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne as I sat with my Father in his throne. What does that mean? What does that mean? We sit in a place of authority in Christ's throne as he has sat down in his Father's throne. And we are put in a place of authority in glory someday to rule, to reign, to all the universe. You know, I'm not sure, but which universe that I would like for God to put me in, I'm okay with any one of them. Maybe all of them. I don't know. I'll invite you guys over sometimes. You got me over. What is it? What is it? And it's going to be like, we don't know to an extent. We get a glimpse of it, but I'm telling you this month, it's wonderful. Man. Sheila, where Jim's at, it's a wonderful place. And you're going there someday to see him, to be in a wonderful place. Why? Because of what took place in that verse. God says, yes, you. For you. He took, here in closing, said that five times already. He took your hell on earth that you may be able to have his heaven in glory. Amen. Think about that. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you that you are here this morning. You were there yesterday. You'll be here Tuesday. You'll be here every day. Why? Because we see you in everything. It's all for you, Father. This is your world, and you're in charge of what takes place in this world. Father, as we sing this song of invitation, again, the altar is open to anyone that might have a need. As we allow you to speak to our heart, to lead us by your Spirit, to direct us in a way to worship you in the right way, Father. This is the time to do what you have spoken to us to do. This morning we submit to you and to your will for our life, whatever it might be, we allow you to do that because we know and expect great things from you, even now and looking into the future for sure. Have your way as we close with this song of invitation. The altar's open to whoever. And we thank you in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen.
Thank you for listening. You have just heard a message from Pastor Ron Duty of the First Baptist Church of Carroll, Ohio. If you would like more information about starting a relationship or growing in your walk with the Lord, please visit our website at www.firstbaptist.life.